In the name of Jesus, continue to study this subject, analyzing scripture before you teach. So, regarding to how to analyze character. So this is Simon from yesterday. So far I received two groups. Group F studied Barnabas, and the group A studied Mark. The rest of group you haven't complete yet. Take your time to think about it. So, because you have so many to study, you have to, the most important thing is you have to pass your base belief first. Because this analyze scripture is a long-term practice. We are learning some skill, but this is just a tool you have to practice at home. Every time when you teach the class, according to your assignment, no matter what content it could be, right? Maybe it's a passage, maybe it's an event, maybe a chapter, or even entire book. We have to know how to use this technique to analyze it, and then we can have a better understanding ourselves, then deliver the message to the students. So by doing that, the truth can be passed on, and their faith can be really rooted in the truth. Okay, so thank you for Group F and Group F. I finish diligently in such a short time to complete the assignment. Let's take Mark as an example. I wanted to share with you how we do it. This is an example you can learn. If we look at the Mark, even though he is not an apostle, but his name has been in the Bible, the Gospel of Mark. Everybody are reading his work. So Mark, in the sense of the canon, his work has been recognized as an authority, because he is a person actually related to the apostleship, because he's kind of the assistant to the apostle. So what he wrote and what he mentioned about Jesus has been validated as true. And early church greatly accept what he said. Right? So Mark, this name has been mentioned in different way. Okay, so that's why when we study, we have to make clear, we have to clarify who this name talking about, right? Who is the person? So in Acts chapter 12, chapter 15, Colossians chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, Philemon 24, 1 Peter chapter 5, all mention about Mark or Marcus. Marcus. So this is a name. You can easily search just concordance or Bible tool to find out list the verses, right? So we record first. And then in Acts chapter 13, verse 5 and 13, especially, it only mentioned about John, right? So let's turn to this verse, Acts chapter 12. Acts 12, because this is the first very beginning, his name being mentioned. Acts chapter 12, verse 12. Verse 12. Sister Erica, please read.
chapter 12, verse 12.
So basically, Mark's home or his place is a gathering place, you know, for the disciples to pray, especially that night for Apostle Peter, right? So the church actually are gathering in his place whole night because they know next morning something could be happened to Peter. So many people gather together in his place. Think about it. And then in verse 25, Paul and Barnabas, after they finished their task, because they brought money this is charity money for those brothers, sisters in need, you know, because they are encountered great famine, right? So the money has been delivered, and then on the way back to Antioch, Barnabas and Paul, they bring John together, right? So they took with them John, whose surname was Mark, okay? So basically, Paul and Barnabas, they are kind of close to where Mark stayed, right? So nowadays, if we go to somewhere, we can just, I stay in hotel, right? But for Barnabas and Paul, when they travel from Antioch to Jerusalem, where did they stay, right? Did they just stay in a hotel? Or in? Or was it possible these two workers stay in Mark's place? Because this is where the church usually gathering. Okay, so this is when we read Bible, we pay some attention to how do they do the task, right? So this, we need some kind of imagination. Try to mimic how they was doing now and compare our life now. Okay, so Mark's family, if we look at the biographical information about his background, his birth, his life, right? This is the second step. Try to analyze the relevant information. So his place, his family was used in the prayer meeting. But how about the only mention about mother, right? But no father. So this is one clue, right? No father. And what size the house was probably needed to house the praying disciples, right? So this gives us some information about their living their living condition, right? It indicates Mark's background is kind of the good, because they own a place in Jerusalem, just like they have a house in New York, a big house, right? A big house, be able to host so many people, okay? And his father not mentioned, so the father's inference maybe little, or the father, we don't know what happened to the father. But basically, what inference Mark the most could be the mother. Okay, so this is kind of the information we gather from analyze the scripture. And what does this show about wealth of Mark's family? If they have a big house in Jerusalem, right? In Jerusalem. And seems church members or disciples, they all go there for prayer. Huh? So This is some idea. If you grow up in a wealthy family, then what is usually you will do, right? And can you endure kind of hardship or difficulty if the living environment or condition not that good? Or suddenly you have to do things all by yourself, no servant, right? Then are you going to be okay? Or are you going to complain? Yeah, it's all kind of the possibility here, right? So according to Colossians chapter 4, verse 10, we find out, actually, Mark and Barnabas are cousins. Because Mark being described as sister's son to Barnabas, right? Sister's son. So, seems Mark's mother's side are more obvious to the reader, right? So, Barnabas and Mark's mother is either a sister and brother, right? So, it's just like a Jojo, mother, sister, son to the Barnabas, right? You right? It's a cousin? Not a cousin, actually. Cousin, no? They're a cousin, no? Okay, so you know the background, huh? Oh, next, observation, right? After we analyze the information, then observation, observe it. So in Acts chapter 13, verse 5, Mark is described as a helper. Paul and Barnabas on the way for missionary the first time. They brought Mark as a helper. And this is the first missionary, specially ordered by Holy Spirit. Because in chapter 12, they already brought Mark with them together on the way back to Antioch, from Jerusalem to Antioch, right? So Paul and Barnabas, they brought Mark together with a purpose. Or Mark maybe come up with a heart for serving. He wants to join to this missionary. He maybe want to see how different churches in other locations, right? Because Antioch Church has been established and become a very prosperous in the holy work. So Mark come up with a heart to join together. Okay, now he become a helper, okay, on the way for traveling and serve as a helper. So as a helper, what he's supposed to do? Say if you accompany a missionary or pastor to somewhere else, what do you usually do? What do you think? Anyone go for missionary before? No? Is a brother son, right? James. Is a helper, what do you do? Carry things. Yeah, someone maybe carry in your backpack, right? Or prepare a meal. Prepare a meal, just like a missionary to Africa, right? We also have the whole day seminars, right? Seminars. So who are going to cook? Who are going to buy things, right? Usually the helper come in to provide this kind of the need. Go out to market to bring something in, right? So to help, just mention the work can be smoothly done. So make the time more efficient in training the disciple there. This is kind of the same principle, right? As a helper, he must be familiar with to serve others and to endure some kind of like inconvenience. Okay? Then next, we observe it. Mark left Paul and Barnabas for unexplained reasons, right? Bible doesn't say anything about why he just left alone and just left Paul and Barnabas there, right? There are reasons behind, but since the author of the Acts doesn't want to put it, just keep it, oh, okay, this is enough, right? No more in detail, yeah? So, what are the possible reasons for leaving Paul and Barnabas? What do you think? In this case, in going to far away in a new place to preach, right? To preach. So everything to him just new. Now, you can see the people. They respond, how they respond to the gospel, right? And then where is the first stop they preach? Where the first place? Where? Oh, what kind of the land it was? Irene. What is the first stop of their missionary? In Acts chapter 13, you check it up. You will know. Lydia, right? Lydia. Cyprus, right? So it's an island. It's an island. So consider if just like if you go to right now. You go back to Taiwan, it's so humid, right? So hot. If you live in California, so comfortable, dry, right? Even though sometimes hot, but it's very comfortable. You go to Tampa, it's kind of different environment. You become in the summertime, it's not that comfortable, right? Sometimes you sweat, and your body just like sticky. You know, and maybe the whole day long. So you can see the environment could be big change to him. Now, then he had to serve. And then he had to face uncertainty. Paul, they goes by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. They don't have a schedule, so say, okay, this day we stay here for 1 week and then next for another 10 days. No, it's just first of all, listen to the Holy Spirit and to see what could be possible for their next stop. So actually they are doing things like they may suddenly just change. No fixed schedule, right? So many uncertainty. So you have to be flexible and can be easy to adapt to all different kind of environment. Who can be easily to do this kind of work? If you live in a very wealthy family, everything means set and so many to serve you. Versus you are living in a very not very convenient environment, then you have to do things by your own. Which type of person can easily become a helper? You know the answer, right? Okay, and then, now, continue. Go on in chapter 15. Now, during the second missionary, Paul and Barnabas, they disagree over the question of taking Mark or not. Now, this has become a big issue among the workers. Okay? Now, what does the description about this discussion suggests about the intensity of their feelings. Paul and Barnabas both are the very faithful workers for this missionary. But they confront to each other. Paul insists, I don't agree Mark always. But Barnabas said, yes, give him another chance to go with us. No. Right? It's kind of the opposite opinions. They just could not agree to each other, say, okay, let's just bring him over. No. So you can see how the feeling within the worker. Barnabas, he's considered. If you look at his background, it's my cousin, right? He's a young man. But to Paul, he seems more work or task or oriented. Paul at that time focused on who can be suitable to finish the task. He wanted to have someone perfectly fit in to help the holy work only, but not considering to train the young people. But to Barnabas, his mindset is a little bit different because, yes, he failed the previous time, but how about another chance for him to be trained, right? So the mindset is a little bit different. This is how we observe the scripture. Meditate it. Not just read it and then over, and then you just read the little meaning, right? So always remember, put yourself in the situation to think about if you are the character, what you are thinking about it, right? How are you going to deal with this situation? And what kind of mindset the author or the character could be? Number four. We continue to analyze the scripture, then we find out in Philemon chapter in Philemon 24, right? Paul, his tone regarding to Mark different. Colossians chapter 4 verse 10 is the most. He said Mark is very important to him, right? Colossians chapter 4. Verse 10, chapter 4, verse 10. Ari, please do it. This is your name is coming from here, right? Is this your name here? Yeah, please. Colossians chapter 4, verse 10. This is his name. Yeah. He's the one to read it. Okay, and then continue to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. 2 Timothy 4, 11. Thank you. So this verse 11, his special mention, for he is profitable to me for the missionary. For ministry. So you can see how now 2 Timothy is the last book, last episode of Paul, right? So Paul was about to die. So in his very late time, he find out Mark actually is profitable for this missionary. This is how Paul, he changed. So in what area you can consider, this is in book of Colossians, right? In what area of ministry does Mark most significant ability seem to lie, seems to serve? In previous, Acts chapter 13, this is in the island. But now, in later time, in the land. So it seems Mark, he probably have a difficulty time for this kind of the different environment, especially for island. Right? You look at the island, if we study even deeper about this Pisgah, the place, the city, it must be something related to. Oh, so if we want to do further, then we'll do it. We'll study about the location and to find out what could be the clue for us to find out the reason behind. Okay? Number five, what do these verses indicate about Paul's willingness to admit that he had made a mistake before? Right? This is in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He is profitable to me by ministry. So we can see Barnabas, actually, he really lived out his name called the son of comfort. Barnabas is very good for training the younger one. Barnabas has a vision to see how this young man could be very profitable for this ministry. So you can see not any worker is perfect, but this is how we learn from them. We actually can cultivate ourselves. So if we learn it, then we have a more gracious attitude towards the younger one. So as I teacher, we are going to teach the younger one, right? So let's come up with a vision. Even though the kids could be very naughty, but who knows, 10 years later, 20 years later, this naughty kid could be a pastor, right? Could be a very important worker in the church. Or it could be very, very successful in the future. Let's come out with the mind, learn from Barnabas, and take a lesson from the mistake of Paul. Okay? Now, make an outline of his life. Outline of life. So we collect all of the information. We put it into a different category. So we just divide his whole life into different sections. That's how we say make a structure. So by analyzing, then you have a very clear understanding about Mark now. So Mark, his background and his early life, according to Acts chapter 12, we know it, right? So his background, in a wealthy family, living in very comfortable environment, you know, not used to serve us as a helper. He probably the one being served, not to serve. Okay. If we go in detail, in the book of Mark, Gospel Mark, chapter 14. Let's use this as another support. Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, verse 51. Verse 51. Here he mentioned, there followed him a certain young man, having a linen cloth cast about his naked body. And the young man lay hold on him. And he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. This is a young man. Who is this young man? This young man could be the one who heard what Jesus prayed in Garden of Gethsemane. Right? Otherwise, if you look at the chapter, this same chapter from verse 32, Jesus brought three disciples there to pray, but all three disciples falling asleep. Jesus went into a distance to pray alone. Right? Who actually can record the content of the prayer? Do you ever consider this is kind of the lack of information, right? Someone must on site to witness what Jesus is saying, otherwise, who knows? So who could be the one? This young man. And who is this young man? Right? So in the book of Mark, this young man, he purposely to hide himself. He don't want to expose his own identity because he's kind of embarrassed, right? At that moment, he has no faith at all. He fled for his life. So just if we connect together, we see what his background is, right? Number two, the second section, Mark's opportunity for service. Paul and Barnabas, they brought him along to Antioch. And then they special give him a chance as a helper on the way of the first missionary. And then next, his failure, right? His failure. He failed. But he come back. Come back. So this is how we make our life. Then if we continue, then we can actually to find out his character. His character trait, how his personality, how he can be trained in years, after years, and become a profitable worker. Right? So what general trait of the character did you observe in the life of John Mark? Can you just portray what this character, Mark, looked like? You know? In the Bible, it doesn't mention about how tall, how fat he is, right? But this, the key is his personality, how his attitude toward the service, right? How did his early life affect him? What attitude reflect in Acts chapter 13, verse 13? The attitude, the motive, and then how he disciplined himself when he was in the difficulty. Basically, he fell. But what character trait appear in the later reference to him, right? How he changed back, how he returned as a good worker. So after we analyze, then we use it to apply into the class, to teach the students. So if we are living in a very wealthy environment, like in the state, you know, almost every kid, they have an iPhone, you know, smartphone. They are just like a king, right? At home, the parents serve. But how are we going to train them and not to fall into the same mistake of this John Mark? Or can we transform the children's life earlier and make them be aware of they could have a chance to have good work as a good worker, right? So this at your hand as an IE teacher to teach the children. You know, learn the lesson from Mark. Okay? So application, you can just create your own for different classes. So this is an example how we analyze the character. Hope this can help you if you are still doing your assignment, please apply to it and then try to do it. If you feel not doing very well, and then redo it. The key is you better to analyze yourself and then you have a very clear understanding, and that benefit a lot. Okay, so this is for the character. Let's go back to the general principle for interpretation. Yesterday we stopped at, it's in the principle number four, right? Principle number four, right? Principle number four, and then so we proceed for number five. Is here? No? I forgot the number. We finished, right? Only number three? Prince number three? Prince number four, actually, yes. So, how about this? Do you see this slide before? No? No? How about this? Number 35? No? We just finished the three. Oh, okay. Okay. Now, let's go a little bit. We have 6 minutes for principle number four. We are kind of in the four, yes, I remember. Okay, let's start from here. So, historical interpretation of the Bible. So when we look at the scripture, we have to pay attention to the historical background because it will affect our understanding about why the author writing in such a way, right? So everything has the historical background. Just like now in this 21st century, ISIS, this event, right? ISIS, ISIS. If you mention it 30 years ago, nobody knows what's that, right? Maybe this kind of the influence maybe disappear after 30 years. But in this period of the history, when people study, the history, they will definitely know what happened in this, we don't know how long, but this influence appear in the history. Likewise, the Bible is the same. We have to discover the true historic setting of the passage of Scripture is to discover part of God's word revelation, because it's kind of related to each other. God reveals something to his worker, must have something to do with the history, right? Okay, so this is a concept we have to keep in mind. Culture. When we mention about historical, then it's all related to the culture too. Culture go with historical development, right? So it could be a geographic, it could be a lifestyle, it could be a social way of life that distinguish one community from another. So, especially for Jews and Gentiles. When we study the book of Samuel, for example, or Kings, the way Israel interact with the Gentiles are very different from what has been description in the Numbers and Deuteronomy, right? Because they are in different setting, different environment. Gentiles, they have their way of life. They worship idols. They have their own feast. It's all related to the historical background. So analogy of the Bible geography is important. Now, sometimes we have to have a tour just help to find out the location, and we have idea about the geography. Progress of the revelation must be understood in terms of the historical moment, because the time is continuing on, never stop, right? Every second, moving forward. And God revealed His will according to His plan. So just at what time God will show someone to for certain things is for salvation. So this kind of progressive revelation until Jesus come, and then the salvation, the framework finish. So God revealed progressively and always truthfully from shadow to substance, from type to reality, right? So from Old Testament into New Testament. From shadow to substance. So look at the salvation. It's very, very clear. So you study the doctrine of salvation, then you when you analyze how Noah's ark served as a important, the only one way for survive, then we come out here to see a church, a true church. So it's a shadow, and then there's a substance. Example. Geography. Right? Say, God will send the former rain and the later rain in Joel chapter 2. It's prophesied about the future. Of course, it related to the geographic weather. This is because in Jerusalem, in Canaan, the dry season is in what? Dry season is in summertime, right? Rain season is in wintertime. So this former rain and the later rain, what are they talking about? We have to understand. So in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon, because Peter, his special side, take this reference from Book of Joel, and then he link connect it to the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit came, just like a former rain. Former rain come. And in James chapter 5, you know, James, he used the farmer wait patiently for it until it received the early and the later rain. See, all this kind of the passage or the teaching related to the geography, because in the area, this is what they get used to. They know what's the former rain. They know when is the later rain come. In Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 12, is today not the wheat harvest? I will call to the Lord, and He will send thunder and rain. This is in the incident when the Israelites, they ask for a king. And Samuel called the congregation, the Israelites, into the Shiloh, right? And then he special make a declaration for them. What's wrong for asking a king? Then a sign, this sign is important to prove what God view about their request, right? So this is in the wheat harvest time. So when is the harvesting season? When is the dry season? And how God especially uses this thunder and rain to prove that He actually showed His anger to the Israelites. So this is related to the geography. So it's when we study it and we check it up, we know. Okay, let's stop here because time comes up. We'll continue tomorrow. Let's pray in silence.